This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Well, welcome in Sean Farnham of ESPN. He joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Farnham. All right, Sean, AP 1, 2, and 4 all go down. Kansas with a nice win against Baylor. They're now 7-0 in the road in Big 12 play. Does that solidify the Jayhawks as the best team in the nation as of today for you?
Sure. Why not? look, if you think about college basketball this year, it's been a little bit crazy. There's only been one number one team, by the way, that didn't actually lose the number one ranking when they were number one. That was Gonzaga. They got passed over by Baylor, and probably deservedly so. If you play a third round matchup and it's like, you know, Baylor, Kansas once again in the Big 12 championship game, could Baylor beat them? Yeah, they can. And they've shown that. And they even almost rallied to do it at home. I think Saturday in particular, what Kansas showed is Bill Self, first of all, making the adjustment offensively that he made a couple of weeks ago with going with a smaller lineup with only one big out on the floor, spaces the floor a little bit better, gives opportunities for Azubuike to be more successful around the basket and also Devon Dotson to get those driving seams and the driving lanes that he wants to hit. But what I would tell you is in those games, in those moments, and sometimes I feel and I mentioned this earlier in a broadcast I had earlier this year, we misread situations. Like, I think there's a lot of people that would watch that game and go, man, this is huge. Kansas is going to have to go into that environment, and Kansas is going to have to try to beat Baylor, who's number one in the country. No. It's actually Baylor that had more pressure on them. Because guess what? What you saw on College Game Day, that's not how that arena looks every single night. The feel was different at home. It wasn't a normal home game. It was more significant. This was the one that all week long everybody was talking about as you were walking around campus. And because of that, Kansas, everywhere they go, it's a free t-shirt giveaway. It's like Kentucky. It's Kansas. It's Duke. There's no environment you can throw them in where they haven't already seen it and they haven't already experienced it. And I think that Baylor came out a little bit slow. And they got better as the game went on. And that's part of the maturation process of becoming a team that's good enough to win a national championship. And I still think that Baylor is good enough to win a title. But to answer your question, yes, Kansas is the best team in the country right now.
Talking college hoops with Sean Farnham of ESPN on three-man front of the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. So the latest bracketology, we've got Kentucky and Auburn projected as 4 seed, Sean. Florida is a 9 seed. LSU is an 8 seed. Is there a fifth team? What would that fifth team be from the SEC that you have confidence in and maybe getting a bid and making some noise in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know if I have the utmost confidence in anyone right now to be that fifth seed. You know, Mississippi State's been a disappointment because they've had opportunities and they've let them slip away. The game at Ole Miss stands out to me in particular because that was a game where they had control of the contest and they just stopped playing. They stopped playing with the intensity that they need to have at the defensive end if you want to be an NCAA tournament team. I left Alabama after they beat LSU going, man, this team's going to go play in the NCAA tournament. How phenomenal that win was. And that was an electric environment. And Herb Jones was sensational with 17 rebounds and 6 points, a couple charges, a couple blocks. And Kyra Lewis was playing unbelievable. And then they come back and they lose at home. And you're like, Wait, what's going on here? Like you can't do that. You can't do that if you want to be an NCAA tournament team. So the inconsistencies have opened up doors for teams that we didn't think even had a chance a couple of weeks ago. I mean, my alma mater, UCLA, has all of a sudden come out of nowhere, and they're playing Thursday night for first place in the Pac-12. Well, if you're going to the NCAA tournament, and I know that UCLA's non-conference wasn't good, I'll be the first one to admit that. They lost to Fullerton. They had some bad losses. And they started conference play 1-3. Not good. But they're playing really well right now. And if you're comparing them right now to a Mississippi State or an Alabama, they should be in over both of them. And that's the problem right now for those two teams in particular, because those are the only two teams that you could probably throw into the hopper that isn't already a lock for the NCAA tournament and the SEC. But they got work to do. And you gotta start stringing together wins, because there's other teams like Providence in particular this month has 4 top 25 wins alone in the month of February. 4. That's getting it done. That's sending a message that, hey, we're a tournament team. We weren't early, but we are now. And I think that's going to be something that, in particular this year where the bubble is as weak as ever, is that's going to hold some extra weight, is how you finish and how you play down the stretch.
Sean, who's the SEC Player of the Year?
That's a great question. You know, to be honest, I would probably say, and this is unconventional of me, but I would probably go Nick Richards. Because I think for Kentucky to win a national championship, he has to be every bit the dominant big man that he's been all season long, in particular in conference play. He's been outstanding. I think you could also, if Okoro wasn't hurt, I think very much so in the discussion, not only to try to maybe unseat Anthony Edwards as freshman of the year in the conference, but I think you've seen his value with him not being on the floor for Auburn and how that's changed some things. You know, he's such a vital part of what they're doing and skyrocketing up draft boards because of his athleticism and the dunks that he's been able to have. I also think Ashton Higgins probably is in that discussion point as well, just based on his leadership of Kentucky and how well he's played.
All right, so let's stay with Okoro for a moment. I'm going to ask you sort of a double-ended question here. For our listeners,
I like double-ended questions.
For our listeners who may not be able to see how he impacts the game outside of a box score or with some highlights like you mentioned, I'd love for you to sort of take us inside of what Isaac Okoro offers. But I also want your opinion, because you're a national college hoops guy, on just what this Auburn basketball team is right now, because they seem to be one that's a little bit confusing to pinpoint as far as how dangerous they might be come March Madness.
All right, I'm going to go backwards forwards on the questions, because my ADD will kick in and you can remind me about Okoro in a second, okay? But when you look at Missouri and Georgia's losses, those are two losses that, like, the Missouri one, you're like, all right, come on, seriously, you lost to Missouri? Like, and that's no disrespect to Missouri, but Auburn's a better team. And they should have won that game. They came out flat. That's the first game after Okoro got hurt. Okay, I got it. Cool, we're good. You come back after that, you're on the road against Georgia. Georgia left the door open multiple times for Auburn to climb over the top of, and they could not. I think they ended up shooting 15% from beyond the arc. And this all ties into, if you take those two losses away, how you feel about Auburn right now is distinctly different than I think Auburn fans feel about the team right now. That confusion, that uncertainty. A two-game blip doesn't mean you're not good. A two-game blip does not mean that you can't advance the NCAA tournament. I don't think this is a Final Four team for Auburn. I never thought they were a Final Four team. I think they're a very good team. I think they're a team that could advance to a Sweet 16, given the right matchup, get to the Elite Eight. After that, it's a roll of the dice, right? But that would be maxing out for Bruce Pearl's roster, which would be tremendous, especially considering what they accomplished last year, what they lost, and how he's put new guys into new roles and how they thrive this year. Isaac Okoro's ability to defend is one of the most undervalued aspects of what he brings to the table. He's strong. He's super athletic. These are things that you can see with your eyes. It's very clear. But what it allows them to do is they can switch ball screens. They can invert him. He can play down low and muscle, and then they can bring a double from somewhere else if they need to. But a lot of guys don't have that big. So when you switch on the perimeter, or you can get multiple length looks to shooters because he's athletic enough to guard a two, now all of a sudden, you're causing a disadvantage for your opponent because you have a bigger, stronger, more athletic player guarding a smaller guard who's their best player. And Okoro can do that. And I think that's what they're missing more than anything right now, with him not being on the court, for Bruce Pearl.
A few more moments with ESPN's Sean Farnham here on 3-Man Front of the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Who is that team, Sean, nationally, that isn't getting enough respect that you think could be a Final Four team?
I think it's Dayton. I think it's clearly Dayton. I think the fact that Dayton's really, you know, they're talking, Joe Lenardi's talking about how Maryland should be on the one line. But, you know, if they didn't lose to Ohio State, they're going to be on the one line. And I'm looking, going, well, what about Dayton? I mean, Obi Toppin is a lottery pick. And you've got guys of experience around them. The next five leading scorers on that team are juniors and seniors. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like a makeup of a team that you know that made a Final Four recently? Having juniors and seniors and upperclassmen leading the way, and a point guard like Jalen Crutcher, who doesn't get a lot of respect, who can make big shots and winning plays and winning moments. He hit the game winner against St. Louis on the road. He had 18 the other night at VCU when Obi Toppin wasn't great. To me, that sounds a lot almost like an Auburn was a year ago, or a Virginia was a year ago, having that, you know, a guy that you can really count on, but a lot of really good players around them that understand their roles and know what they have to do, and their efficiency at the offensive end has been really strong. I mean, Dayton has been in the top two, top three all year long in offensive efficiency. They can score the basketball. And maybe, you know, I think the difficult thing for a lot of people to understand is the most memorable game that they have in everybody's mind is a loss to Kansas in overtime in Maui. But that's a long, long time ago, and this team has continued to get better. And ask some teams in the SEC about what it's like playing on the road against A-10 opponents, because they'll tell you it's not easy. Ask LSU how it was going to VCU. They'll tell you they took a loss. And I think that that's one of the things you can't forget. Life on the road is difficult no matter where you're at. This Dayton team's good enough to win a national championship and make it all the way to Atlanta.
Sean, you mentioned sort of Alabama, the letdown they had at home. Do they have to win the SEC tournament to get into the big dance?
No, I don't think they have to win the whole tournament. Again, the bubble is so weak that the opportunity will be there for them to pick up ground if somebody starts to stumble nationally. You have to look at who is around you. Like NC State, like I'm not sold on NC State, you know, staying in the field or being on the line that Joe Lunardi currently has them on. You know, Providence could just as easily as it has these significant wins could falter. UCLA could do the same thing. So again, it's not like anybody's that far out in front that you can't make it up. However, you've got to be above 500 in conference play. You have to be above 500 in conference play. This SEC this year is good, and we've seen it in the last couple of years where it's been outstanding. But it's not like this is an SEC this year where the bottom half of it is so tough that you're like, okay, well, you know, we can understand you having a sub 500 record. And especially when you go back to the out of conference, you start trying to look at their resume and you go, okay, man, lost to Iowa State. Are they a tournament team? No. Lost to North Carolina. Are they a tournament team? No. You know, the Penn State loss looks better and better every single day. Wins over Richmond. That helps. But when you look at the remainder schedule, you got to win for sure on the road against Mississippi State. That is a you got to win the next four for sure, and then probably win one in the conference tournament, and I think you'd probably be good. I think you'd probably be good, maybe two. But you win the next four, and again, I don't have the utmost confidence in the teams around them, so I think that like teams like Stanford are going to continue to lose, which means they're tracking in a negative place, and you'd be tracking up.
He's one of the best talking college hoops. It's ESPN's Sean Farnham. Sean, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem, guys. Talk to you soon.
You can follow Sean on Twitter, at Sean Farnham. Joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. It's your favorite retailer now in three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories and two carbs, and it's gluten-free.
This is Three Man Front.